Hi, my name's Henry Abbott. I wrote a book called Ballistic, and if you've read that book, then you know that there is no scene in it whatsoever about dogs frolicking on the beach. Nevertheless, that's the goal of the book. This is the mission. Imagine moving with as much joy as two dogs just romping through the waves. This is what I want to picture in your head. This is the point of the book. What would it take for you to have that much fun moving with your human body? That's the goal. Ballistic has five key takeaways that I'm going to share with you now. And the first of them is a little bit the life story of Marcus Elliott. His life quest anchors Ballistic, and he tore his ACL at football practice on his 17th birthday, and it upended all of his dreams. He'd been hoping to play college football, and instead he had 6 months of being depressed in his bedroom, and then he emerged with a new quest, which is he would study the human body super hard, so hard that he might one day be able to prevent the injuries that ruin sports. His journey took him to the University of California in Santa Barbara, where he studied microbiology. Then he was a lifeguard and a professional triathlete for a while. And then he went to Harvard Medical School, and he studied everything you study at medical school, right? From infectious diseases to delivering babies. And eventually he studied with an elite physiologist, Tim Noakes, in South Africa. And then he worked for the New England Patriots trying to prevent hamstring injuries, and the Seattle Mariners and the U.S. Olympic Training Center, and with elite Canadian sprinters and track cyclists and all these athletes. And it became a little clear that there wasn't an obvious field which contained the clues to injuries before they happened, right? It wasn't clear what he looked in microbiology and physiology and neuroscience and athletic training. He had many years of many signs that there were hints that injuries were coming, but not reliable ways to identify them. Okay, so that insight number one was prevention is the key. Insight number two came many years into his quest. It became clear it's movement. The way that humans move, that's the data set that contains the clues. Marcus learned this first from his naked eye, second from buying force plates that he installed in the floor of his startup movement lab in Santa Barbara that he called the Peak Performance Project. And then later, from getting another business loan to install infrared cameras in the ceiling so that they could really do motion capture in a fulsome way. Now, it's good news that he found the field where the clues to future injuries would lie, but the bad news is he found a very complex field. I'm going to quote Oliver Sacks, famous neuroscientist, saying, "Much more of the brain is devoted to movement than to language. Language is only a little thing sitting on top of this huge ocean of movement." So think about that. Practically everything they do in every university on the planet is studying this little part of the brain, which is language. And Marcus was delving headlong into this ocean beneath it, which is movement. Another sign that movement is super complex is there's a study that humans can run almost the same speed over lumpy terrain as over flat terrain. Meanwhile, robots can't even run over lumpy terrain because it takes too much processing power. So we have this brilliant giant neuroprocessor of our brain, and it's very attuned to moving us through space in brilliant ways. And Marcus was proposing that he would be able to decode that a little bit sufficiently to say, for instance, like the conductor of an orchestra might say, it sounds to me like that violin is a bit flat, and that's what's making the orchestra sound bad. He wanted to wade into the 600 muscles of the human body and the symphonic ways that they moved and identify issues. Okay, takeaway number three is that most athletic injuries come from landing. Now, you probably remember physics class. You may have had an experiment where they give you an egg and some pipe cleaners, plastic bags, duct tape, balloons, other items, and your charge is to create some kind of contraption, some device that will make it so that the teacher can stand on a ladder or lean out the window and drop this raw chicken egg so that it does not shatter upon landing. Now, I want you to think about your own human body right now as you're listening to me. Kind of draw an egg-shaped circle from the top of your head to the bottom of your torso. We are that egg. About 80% of your mass is in this torso, and the contraption that we have so that we land safely are the three stacked joints of our ankles, knees, and hips. They're fantastic at attenuating the force of landing so that our egg does not drop, but they have to be fantastic because all of the biggest forces involved in human movement come from landing. We might think it comes from lifting heavy weights or jumping, but the fact is gravity pulls us down. And so, for instance, in Marcus's lab, if an NBA player once stepped off an 18-inch tall box and landed on the force plates with 11,000 newtons of force. Put that in context, the punch of a pro boxer is about 100 newtons of force. And much more importantly, in a disgusting experiment, they isolated that it takes about 2,800 newtons of force to fully sever a human spine. So to recap, there was an NBA player who landed with more than triple the force necessary to fully sever his spine, which means he has legs that are good to land on, and he needs them because the force of free fall is immense and more than enough to injure us. What emerged from this is takeaway number four from Ballistic, which is knee injuries don't happen in the knee. So Marcus hired a staff. He built what still is one of the leading movement labs in the world. More than 70% of the NBA's rostered players have visited P3 in Santa Barbara and been assessed. Their servers have 134.4 terabytes of movement data from elite athletes from all major sports: soccer, tennis, track and field, baseball, football, even NASCAR. And this giant corpus of knowledge has become so big that P3 has been able to extract cause and effect type lessons. So for instance, if someone in the NBA tears their ACL, then the people at P3 can look at their own database and see how that person moves to see if there are clues. And they've been building this for more than a decade now with this motion capture data, which has almost 1 million data points per assessment per athlete, and force plate data. And it's perhaps, I would argue, the most valuable database in the world because it includes a whole new set of keys to understanding what causes human injuries. One of their studies is of almost 400 NBA players tracked over years to see what movement habits were present in players who had catastrophic knee injuries, which most commonly are ACL tears, the same injury Marcus had in high school. And the results are fascinating. While the academic literature has long explored things like the width of the ligament itself, or a movement known as valgus knee collapse, or hormonal factors, etc., the P3's granular movement dataset contributed a whole new view of catastrophic knee injuries. The number one leading factor had to do with how a foot lands on the ground. They had to invent a new name for this move because it had not been identified and studied before, but they call it a P3 translation, and it means landing on the outside of your foot and then having the force of landing roll to the inside. A little bit of that is quite common, but if you can imagine as your ankle rolls in this way, your shin moves like a windshield wiper from one side to the other. If it moves 25 degrees or more, then it becomes, in P3's data, a giant indicator of knee injury risk. So that's factor number one, is in the foot. Factor number two is in the hip. Specifically, when people land, many of them can have their hips sink down, which is good. But as they do, as they squat, some people have the femur, the upper leg bone, rotate within the leg as you squat down. And the effect of that is a little bit like twisting the drumstick off a turkey. It's very hard to identify with the naked eye, but with the motion capture system, it's evident and a major red flag. If your femur rotates as you land, this is something that they want to start fixing immediately at P3. The third leading cause is also in the hips, and it's effectively how good the muscles of your hips are at decelerating you. So you might think of braking as something that you would do with your lower legs, but if your hips, knees, and ankles are bending together, you can absorb a lot of force into your hips. And if you're good at absorbing that force, then you're going to land more safely. All of these things they found are plastic. Every single one of these things can be improved with training. As Oliver Sacks pointed out, the language component of our brain sits on top of the movement component. They work synchronously and similarly. And so just as you can learn more vocabulary or learn a little more Spanish or French, you can also learn to move your hips a little differently or to land with a strong ankle position that doesn't roll from side to side. So in that study, all of the top factors were in the hip or the knee, which means that the various existing assessments, for instance, x-rays and MRIs, in many cases completely miss the source of the catastrophic knee injury. Derrick Rose was the reigning MVP of the NBA when he tore his ACL. And if you'd done an MRI of his knee the morning he tore it, it quite probably would have looked perfect because it wasn't injured by the ligament. It was injured by things that happened in the hip above or the foot below. This is the pattern. So the promise here for you and me reading this is that we could have a lot better healthcare because we've been blind to the true causes of a lot of the biggest sports injuries. Which brings me to takeaway number 5, which is that all of our hips need help. Everybody they've ever assessed to P3 either needs to work on their hip mobility or their hip stability. Now, what does that mean? In a sort of crude, joking way, what they say is that everybody who goes to yoga should lift weights, and everybody who lift weights should go to yoga. You want your hips to be mobile and stable, and the trend is that most of us work on only one of those things, and you should work on both of those things. If you get the book Ballistic, there's a handy diagram of a little home assessment you can do to see if you think you have hips that are need work on mobility or stability. But I will tell you that when I asked Marcus how to tell this, one of his answers was, I think if your hips aren't mobile enough, you know. And I think you know. Okay, so those are 5 takeaways from Ballistic. Thank you so much for listening. And I can't wait to have you read this book and then frolic on the beach like a puppy. It's going to be the best.